Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A lifestyle. Sports cards and we live now. Jeremy Lee in the building and every guest that you ever needed. Sports cards after hours keep the hobby heated. Updates, hobby talk like you never seen it. Sports cards live and none could ever beat it. Sports cards is a lifestyle. Sports cards and we live now.
Welcome to another episode of Sports Cards Live with your host, Jeremy Lee.
All right, everybody. Welcome to episode number 217 of Sports Cards Live. It is Saturday night, February the 17th, 2024. My name is Jeremy Lee. I would like to thank everybody who tuned in last week with our episode with Paul Hickey of the Sports Card Strategy Show. Really fun show. You can check that out on the YouTube channel. And next Saturday, our guest is Mario Alejandro, a big Twitter account and great follow over there. The PWCC Weekly Hockey Show is back tomorrow, an MC Monday's live showcase auction, the first one featuring only $5,000 plus items, will take place here on the channel on Monday. I'd like to ask you to join over 500,000 people who have downloaded the Center Stage app across both iOS and Android for quick comps and accurate comps and card identification features. The Center Stage Marketplace featuring super easy listing and transparent, reasonable fees is coming soon. So please join me in supporting the great team they have, the innovation they are undertaking, and let's help make Center Stage a great place to buy and sell singles. Also, use protection, practice safe swaps. VeriSwap is an app and middleman service that lets you securely trade cards through the mail. Every transaction up to $1 million is fully insured by their guarantee. Check them out on iOS and Android and join me and VeriSwap founder Raymond Lee for our bi-weekly VeriSwap Trade Desk live on Instagram. Also, please join me in welcoming new sponsor, Filth Bomb Breaks. The team at Filth Bomb offers live case breaks and box breaks. And as we learned a couple weeks ago, when founder Stephen Abbandondolo was on the show, they do so with integrity and responsibility. If you enjoy group breaks and are looking for a company to break with, check out Filth Bomb Breaks, streaming live on Fanatics Live, 4 channels, 7 days a week. Very busy on there. Shout out Hobby News Daily. And Leighton Sheldon will be joining us for the Vintage Spotlight a little bit later. And also, Tag Grading is blowing it up at the Burbank Show today with our custom badges. You can now buy and sell tag graded cards on ComC. And the Tag X service is a game changer. Lorcana, Pokemon, other rounded corner TCGs are now eligible for grading. Visit taggrading.com if you value transparency and consistency in grading. As always, thank you, loyal viewers and listeners. Appreciate you as always. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel or the podcast, please take a moment and do so. And as always tonight, your comments and your questions are in play. Let's get to it. Let's get to it, everybody. Tonight's guest started in the hobby in 2001, going to local corner stores with his buddies and buying packs of Panini soccer stickers. He was in and out of the hobby, but came back in 2020 as he was looking for something fulfilling and began to document his hobby experience on his Coach Co. TikTok and Instagram accounts. And he began co-hosting the Cardboard Coaches podcast in 2021. his favorite players of all time, Cristiano Ronaldo, Matt Sundin, Thierry Henry, and his favorite teams of all time are FC Porto and the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's originally and currently hailing from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Let's bring him out. Brendan Pereira, also known as Coach Co. Welcome to Sports Cards Live, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you. It's a long time coming. I'm glad to have you here. And this is a fun one for me. This is my first show. As if anyone watched last week, you know, that was the last show in the old house, the old studio. This is my new spot. This is the new space.
I love it.
I'm excited and happy to be here and to have you on for this first show, Brendan. We've had a chance to get to know each other over the last couple of years now. So, like I said, long time coming, but welcome back. Welcome here.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be part of the christening.
Yeah, well, that's really what it is. It's definitely going to be a fun one. What's going on, Troy? I see you out there on Instagram. If anybody's watching on Instagram, we are streaming to IG tonight. Feel free to come over to the YouTube channel where your comments can be really brought in to the show over there. But I appreciate that, Troy. Icy says, two bald beauties that I love and respect. Dave and Adams casual, Troy from Troy LaCostro from Dave and Adams. All right, listen, let's get to you though. Brendan, Coach Co. You know, we're both Canadian and we see each other at the Toronto Expo. And you've come to my networking event the Thursday night before the show starts. And you know, it's nice to become friends with you. We've sat on panels together, but we are two Canadian content creators. Do you think that sets us apart at all? Some people think, oh, Canadians are all nice and friendly. Do we have a bit of that going on, or do we say a little bit too much? How do you think it might set us apart from other content creators, seeing as we are both Canadian?
I definitely think that the saying "a too much" is in play. I mean, it honestly gets brought up quite frequently when I'm traveling, especially in like the United States, where they're like, "Oh, you guys really do say a." I don't notice it as much, obviously, and I mean, if you were to say it to me, I probably wouldn't notice it either. You know, in terms of like differentiating ourselves, I mean, I do think that, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about this later, is that there's not a lot of content creators from Canada, or at least the ones that, you know, continue to put out consistent content. And I think it's important for us to be represented in the United States, and for them to see that, you know, Canadians mean business when it comes to collecting, and it's not just hockey. I mean, sometimes it is hockey, but you know, there's multiple ways to use your voice. And I think it's important for us to show representation in the United States.
Yeah. And you've been doing a great job of that. I mean, you've been traveling to a lot of shows down south. This weekend, right now, the Burbank show is going on. It's the first Burbank show I'm not at. I'm deeply saddened that I can't be there. I don't know if you've been watching on Instagram, yeah, but the VIP badges that TAG has been giving out to those holders, they're all over Instagram right now. And I'm like, I texted down to some of my guys, TAG, like, you got to make me one of those. Like, I'm not there, but I need one of those. They look so cool. I'd really like to be there. But you've done a great job of kind of representing Canada. But what you just said, I think, is really true, is that, you know, just because we're Canadian, we're not only about hockey. Yes, hockey is our baseball. You know, if baseball is America's pastime, hockey's definitely Canada's pastime. But you and me and a lot of Canadian collectors, we collect a lot more than just hockey, baseball, basketball, football, wrestling. You started off with soccer. Are you still collecting soccer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's harder for me to find soccer pieces because they're not so prominent. And, you know, the ones that are prominent, you know, I try to wait for things to either come down or to get a really good price on some of them. But every now and then I'll find, like, I'm specifically, like, I gravitate towards stickers because that's kind of like, to your point, when you first introduced me, that's like how I started off, right? And so I love stickers. And, you know, finding those in graded copies or even in raw form is like actually really hard. And even if people do own them, it's not something they necessarily travel with. So it becomes like kind of challenging to just like stumble upon them. Whereas like if I was sifting through a dollar box or, you know, even perhaps looking through a showcase, I mean, it's much easier to find an actual card versus a sticker.
Yeah, for sure. I don't see them very often, especially up here at our expos and all that. But a couple comments I see on Instagram. Daddy Rips Says that Burbank was popping. Yeah, thanks, Daddy Rips. Now I miss it even more. Says that the Tag Badgers are the best show giveaway anyone has ever done. That's a really, really great, comment to get there. Daddy Rips, thanks for joining the show. Before we get on with this, Brendan, let's go to the comments here that have come in through on YouTube. Lots of them in there. So let's say we got Alan Terwell from Waxstat is with us. What's up, Al? Hope you've enjoyed the Burbank show. Linda, that's Michael. Linda's first. Hello to you. Michael, 86 Collectible says, love the new setup. Well, I'm going to give you guys a bit of a, I'll give you a bit more of the view. Brendan saw it before we went live, but for you guys, so you can see, I got these are all like originally commissioned paintings. I'm just going to tilt my camera upwards so you can see the full extent of that. But we've got, there you go. There's the full extent of my, what's behind me. And then over there, we got four more, two showcases with cards. Those used to sit beside me at my old place. They weren't within the camera view. The further one back behind me, that's all the first year and second year of Upper Deck game jerseys from hockey. They're all in PSA slabs. And then the other one right there, this showcase here, are some of my favorite tags, hockey cards, and one basketball, one Shaquille O'Neal in there, that are all my favorite tag slabs that I have with my PC. So I love sitting in this room now, Brendan and everybody, because this is my new space. This is my office, my studio. It's my space in this new house. And I'm pretty excited right now about it. So this is fun. 90s hockey collector, what's going on? Todd McDonald says, love the new office. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it. What's up, Stukes? Good to see you, buddy. Robert Scott, thank you so much. The professor is here. Jeff McMahon, appreciate that, Jeff. Laura, good evening to you. Al G, what's going on, Al? Good to see you, buddy. Jake Dahl, Kurt Renault says, good evening. Glad to finally catch the beginning of a show. Kurt, welcome. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. Mid-Atlantic, what's going on? Jerry Hotch is here. What's going on, Maple? The Maple Laughs, they won 8-2.
Nine to two.
Did you see that Matthews had his second back-to-back hat trick? Like, he's at 49 goals?
Eight, I think. Yeah. He's an animal.
Crazy. I know. Crazy. I could see he could easily crash through 70 here. Bob Boozle is in the house. What is going on, Bob Boozle? The loud collector. Phil is here. Laura says, you're going to need a bigger outfield wall for your sponsors. Kind of out of room right now. I mean, I line them up across the top here. That's going to be the new look. But again, guys, I mean, these guys are all supporting me and the channel, and I just want to make sure I'm giving them value back. So I hope nobody minds that I've added them to the view. Eric is in the house. Says, you guys up north talk real funny, unlike us in Boston. Sure we do. Thank you, Autograph Curator. Muchly appreciate the comment about the nice new digs. Tom Newman, thank you. Says, fire ass setup. Jeremy, thank you so much. Congrats on the new crib. Yeah, very exciting for me and my family. Thank you. Cards AH, appreciate the new space. Congrats, everybody. Jamie Croft, happy Saturday to you. Jeff Hart, thank you, Jeff. Same. Appreciate these comments. I really like, listen, it's been a very, Brendan, I know I'm just going on here about this,
but I gotta tell you,
it's been a 2-week move, and we're finally in and settled for the most part. 86 says, Coach might be the only person in the world with a better mustache than Austin Matthews. He doesn't have a great mustache. Coach Co, what do you think of his mustache?
It's all right. I don't know. I don't know. He's got an all right mustache.
He's all right. Vintage Card Collector says, love the paintings behind me. I do too, guys. I've had these paintings for a while, but they were sitting in my rec room outside of the old studio. But in here, we got them all hung up. I had a guy come in and really like hang these up with, he was using lasers and all sorts of stuff. So pretty happy with the layout. Bobby Burrell has joined the audience. Bobby, what is going on? Good to see you, pal. Cards AH, yes, I am still in Calgary. And Loud Collector says Matthews is a plug. That's coming from an Ottawa Senators fan, Coach Co. All right. Again, everybody, welcome to the show. Episode 217, Sports Cards Live. Coach Co is our guest. And again, the first show in the new studio. Coach Co, let's get a little bit into you a little bit, and let's hear a bit about your hobby history and really who you are as a hobbyist. Fill us in, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Yeah, so my hobby journey starts, I mean, much like you mentioned, that in like 2001, 2002, buying packs of Panini stickers at literally corner stores. I grew up in a predominantly like Portuguese and Italian neighborhood. And so most of my friends growing up were Portuguese and Italian. And I mean, my family is entirely Portuguese. And so, you know, the Euro Cup and you know, watching soccer overseas is like, it was a big deal for us. And collecting stickers was just something that we did. And, you know, I actually got into like set collecting, and I've transitioned that into like my collecting nowadays as well. But set collecting, and at the time it was the books. So you would buy those Panini books that, you know, actually got super popular again during the World Cup. And the goal was to fill them all out. And you would either rip packs or you'd go to, you know, we would go to a place called the Galleria Mall, which was like close to my grandmother's house. On the weekends, on Saturdays, they'd have like a few vendors set up every Saturday, and it was nothing special, but you know, at least one or two of them would have like just sleeves of these stickers, and you would, you know, pick out which ones you needed for that to complete that page or whatever the case you're doing. So the goal was just to complete the sticker books, and then it transitioned into Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards and buying packs of Tim Hortons cards and McDonald's cards. So like a lot of the like entry level things that, I mean, we still see a lot of collectors or people being introduced to the hobby get into. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're a teenager and you need to find a job and, you know, fend for yourself. And so, you know, collecting kind of took a back seat, and then pandemic rolls around and I'm looking for ways to fulfill myself. And I'm like, you know what? It's not just about work anymore. Obviously, the whole world's just shut down. So what is it that truly made me happy? And I found, you know, really gravitating towards nostalgia, much like a lot of other people. And I fell in love again. And I was like, you know what? Like, this stuff makes me happy. It's like most of the stuff that I'm purchasing is like not crazy expensive. Like, you know, what's the harm in doing this? Like, this, it's cheaper than like going out and getting drunk. It's, you know what I mean? Like, so many, I could be spending my money on so many other things. And I'm like, I every time I look at these things, like I feel something that's like incomprehensible and you can't even really articulate to people who haven't felt it before. And so I just started kind of documenting my process and, you know, jumping in and actually spending money in a space as an adult. I had a lot of questions, and for the most part, I didn't really know where to go to answer these questions. And so, you know, like I said, I started creating content and actually kind of like asking the audience, like, you know, what's the deal with this? And why is this more expensive than this? And, you know, questions that people would ask if they had the opportunity to, and I happened to get responses. And, you know, from that, I would be led down a rabbit hole and I'd gain more information and, you know, fast forward 4 or 5 years. And now all of a sudden, you know, I'm still learning. And I think that we're all learning every day. And I just try to provide a voice and sort of like an entry point for people. I want people to kind of come to me for information and know that I don't have all the information, but I'll try to point you in the right direction. And, you know, one thing that I've always tried to do is like feature other accounts as well. So like if I'm getting my information from someone, I always feature, because I think that it's important for, you know, I might have come across one story of that person, but, you know, let me put you onto that person. So maybe you either find your niche or, you know, really where that information is coming from so that you can get more of said information if I don't happen to come across it.
Yeah. Cause what I notice you do is, it seems like just about every day you find something newsworthy and you do up a reel and you put it out there on TikTok. And I'm not on TikTok really, but I'm on Instagram. I see it on Instagram, but you're also on TikTok. And I think that's it's a really good way to, you know, especially for your followers, just to sort of keep up to speed on some of the stories that they may not otherwise find on their own, that you are helping them, you're helping them find yourself. But you made a comment when you were speaking earlier, when you said that you would look at these things and you'd get some sort of feeling about them, like about these cards or these stickers back in the day. And I want to just tap into that for a second, because I get that too. Like there's something about what we collect and being a part of the hobby that it's like a visceral feeling, butterflies in your stomach, yeah, sort of thing that I think maybe only true, like really true collectors or, and not just like, listen, you can buy and sell cards and also be a true collector, but you have to have that true collector bone in you in order, I think, to really get that feeling. So that's really cool to hear. I want to get an understanding, because my first real, when you first came on my radar, Brendan, it was because you were all over TikTok. What was it that took you to TikTok first?
That's a great question, actually. I just think I was getting the most responses on TikTok. I was getting like the most people referring back to me. They were like actually answering my questions. Whereas I found on Instagram, it was like less supportive, if that makes sense. Like I found that the people on Instagram kind of just made me feel like an idiot. They were like, oh, how do you not know this already? And even like some of the things I was asking weren't even like really introductory level things. It was just like, oh, you should know this already. And I was like, that's not really a place that conducive to like someone who's trying to like get information here. And at no point did I claim to be an expert. Like, you know, I still don't. I'm learning all the time. Like, am I obsessed with this stuff? Have I put an unbelievable amount of hours in the, like the last 4 or 5 years? Of course. But like, am I by any means an expert? Probably not, you know, but yeah, I was just like, I felt that on Instagram, it was like, you're an idiot and that's it. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm asking a question. So like, I think the real idiot is the person who, you know, thinks that they know what they're like everything. And so anyway, yeah, on TikTok, it was people answering my questions and actually pointing me in the right direction. And I found that that was way more supportive. And so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to gravitate towards this and keep building.
You know, it's like I say, there are no stupid questions, or the only stupid question is the one not asked. So yep. Kudos to you for asking anyway. I mean, how else are you going to learn? I want to say hello to Colin Murray has joined us. Ziggy, no, cheers to you. Bobby Burrell says the Galleria Mall had the best setup, went there a ton of times in the early 90s. Steve Elmore, hello to you. Hobby Champs has joined us. What is going on? And we got Troy on Instagram saying crediting is huge. And it, of course it is. But one of the things I think about, this is kind of off topic, Brendan, but like oftentimes I will hear someone will say something, or they'll post something on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, Twitter. I will see it and I will think to myself, oh, that makes sense. So I'll park it, you know, I'll just park it for a while. A couple of weeks later, I will quote it as if it's mine, but it's not, because I don't remember where I saw it. And if I had a better memory, maybe I'd be able to credit everybody all the time. But to people that I have quoted without crediting, you have my sincere apologies. It's not on purpose. I literally just don't remember where I saw it. So, but something you said, you know, really resonated with me, and I felt it worthy of sharing with more people. What's going on? Graham Reed and the Cardboard Corner have joined us. We got people on Instagram still. Wrestling Card Wizard says the magic of sports cards. No doubt about that. Wrestling Card Wizard. Let's jump into, okay, I titled this episode, is the sports card hobby doing a good job? We're going to get to that. We have a reason why we're calling it that, but let's talk about something kind of current event, if you will. The other day, on my Instagram, I posted an infographic of all the alliances or sponsors and partners that I have. And you're also a sponsored content creator. Let's talk a bit about that. We have that in common. What is it? How does that impact you and your content, if at all, by having sponsors?
Yeah, I think it's important that if and when you get sponsors, that you don't make all of your content kind of like oversaturated as a result of having sponsors. And so one thing that I've limited sponsors at some point in time, because I want to make sure that my stuff is still as genuine as possible. And so, I mean, to your point, like, how does it affect me? Well, I mean, I can't just take on, you know, 10,000 sponsorships and not and still have like the voice I want, if that makes sense. So I think that making sure that the sponsors you take on and, you know, your own kind of morals and integrities align, and that your sponsors understand what your content is and how it's delivered as well. I mean, I'm very fortunate that the people who either sponsor me currently or have sponsored me in the past are well aware of, you know, my stance on certain things or my desirability to say what needs to be said and, you know, and be kind of accepting of, you know, whatever happens as a result of that. Not to say that like I'm about to go start fires, but you know, you have to understand that like I'm probably going to say exactly how I feel like 99% of the time. And so if you're looking for someone who's going to be PC and who's, you know, probably not going to ruffle any feathers, like I'm definitely not your guy. Right. So, yeah, I think that that's, it's both of those are like super important to note if and when you get sponsors and just, like I said, just be as genuine as possible. Right. So just, if you do get a sponsorship, if you feel like you're being limited on what you can say, I mean, I'd probably reevaluate the situation, right? So, I mean, I'm fortunate. I still have my own business. I'm a personal trainer, so I can still have a voice, and I'm not entirely dependent on any income from the sports car hobby, right? Or from any of the marketing or any of that such. But yeah, I think it's just important to make sure that you know who you are as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You said it really, really well. And, you know, my experience is, you know, I started doing content it's 3 years, 10 months ago now, almost to the day. Actually, yesterday would have been my 3 year and 10 month anniversary. But in any event, you know, it started out just going in front of the camera and talking. But as you know, especially starting relatively early, I mean, there were YouTubers and content creators 10 years before the pandemic started, the very beginning of the pandemic. But if you got into the content game in early 2020, that ended up being pretty early. And like a lot of us who end up getting sponsored, we do it because we love cards. We love this hobby. We love the lifestyle. Sports cards is a lifestyle for so many of us. And then you just happen to pick up sponsors because people like what you're doing. And that's kind of a really, really cool thing. When I got lamined the other day, which was a lot of fun, someone made the comment on his post, like, you need to know who owns what companies own all the content creators. And the funny thing is that, like, you can be a sponsored content creator. You're not owned by anybody. Whenever I enter a discussion with a potential partner or sponsor, I tell them that, you know, I'm going to be honest and authentic about what I think about things, even has to do with yours. You know, I've been doing PWCC shows for 3 years now, and you can see me tearing to shreds some of the cards that they're selling and basically I wouldn't buy this. This one does not get, I do not endorse this guy. I would not suggest anybody purchase this particular card. It's ugly for the grade or whatever. So, but people seem to often think that you are going to do what you are told to say, which is the furthest thing from the truth. I figure if I wasn't authentic in what I was talking about, I would have lost my audience a couple years ago already. So it's and maybe that's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit a little bit entitled, perhaps. I don't know, but really, if you love what you're doing, like, you know, when I just last week did another podcast, and they asked me, you know, what do you suggest people how to do content? I said, be authentic, be passionate, have subject matter expertise, entertain, inspire. Like, if you're doing these things, you're probably gonna deliver some good information. Everything's not gonna be for everybody, but everybody should be able to find one or two nuggets from just about every sort of episode. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, of course. I think that if people want to get to know you, they'll get to know you, right? So, like, I mean, I really don't care about people who don't care about me. You know, like, I just could not care less. If you don't take the time to get to know me, then, like, I don't give a shit. I was very good there, Jeremy. I was very good. You know, so, like, I don't know. Yeah, I think that as long as you're being your authentic self, like, you have nothing to worry about, right? And like I said, the people who gravitate towards you will gravitate towards you, and they'll see that. And You'll make the impression that you need to make, and it is what it is, right? Like, I mean, you can be judged by a post at any time. I mean, this is the dynamic of social media, right? I mean, this is what happens when you create content. People can listen to 8 seconds or 11 seconds or 22 seconds of a clip of a 2-hour podcast and be like, screw that guy, you know? Yeah. Or like just interpret it in the wrong way and no one asks further questions, and it is what it is, right? So like, I mean, I don't lose any sleep. I know exactly who I am, and I mean, hopefully you do too, and that's why we're here, right?
Well, Hunter, that listen, if it was otherwise, I would have packed this in a long time ago. I've had critics for a few years now. So, but like you, I don't care. I pay attention to it a little bit, but it's okay. I know that not everyone's going to like me. I know that not everyone's going to agree with everything I say. And I don't even agree with everything I say, because sometimes I'll say something here. I only get one take. I can say something, go to bed at night and think to myself, damn, no. I said what I said at that point of the show. I didn't say it right. I actually don't believe, but you have to cut yourself some slack and allow yourself to do that. Otherwise, don't do live streams, because you're not going to get it right every time.
I agree, man. And like, it's like that age old saying, like there's like people in the bleachers and there's people in the field, right? Like it's very easy to criticize when you're not doing the stuff, right? When you're not in it, when you don't know what the process looks like. I mean, there's so many times where I'll put out a video and I'll say something wrong, and I'm like, you know what? Like it is what it is. Like I said it wrong. It's okay. Like I'm fine. But the comment section is just absolutely flaming me, calling me an idiot. And I can't, how do you not pronounce this? You don't know anything. Like, and I'm like, you know what? Like, it doesn't bother me. You know, like it really, I make mistakes, and like, here are my mistakes, you know, welcome. Like you've never made a mistake before. I mean, God bless you. Like, that's a wild life. I don't know how do you even make moves without making mistakes? I don't understand.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, you're so right. We have to cut ourselves some slack here if we're going to do this. A couple more comments here. Dolly's Cards and Collectibles Niagara. Good to see you, fellas. Says, my two favorite podcasts. Love your content. Thanks for all you guys, your Bobby. Thank you, Dolly's. Always good to see you. Hobby Champs notes that Austin Matthews up to 48 goals. Cards AH says, quality content needs to be subsidized somehow. I appreciate those like Jeremy who make a point to be transparent about it. Appreciate that. Cards AH. Tom Newman says, I need a shoe deal next. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Daily ones. Hey, I'm not going to turn that down. Cards AH says, lememed. That's when you know you've made it. Well, I was actually very honored by that the other day. I thought it was awesome. Ziggy No says, you're both positive examples. Sadly, not everyone is as transparent. Back to the matter right there. Chris C, transparency is key. If we had true print runs from Fanatics and Panini, we could make better buying decisions. As collectors, I think that's something a lot of people would like to see. Laura, good to see you, says there are those out there who don't hear exactly that in the relationship with sponsors. Chris C loves the background. Thank you, Chris C. It's like a new vault on display. I'm loving my new digs, guys. Vintage Card Collector says sponsorships, if handled professionally, bring more content and education to the hobby. That's a good thing. Al Turwell says, if you guys could go back to day one of content creating and talk to yourself, what would each of you do differently? Alan, I got to say, never been asked this question, at least not that I can recall. I love the question. While I think about an answer, I'm going to put to Coach Co to go first. Do you have an answer for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to be really honest with you. I would change nothing. I just think that you can't fast forward this process. Like every single day I learn something new. And I feel like when I did it, I needed to do that in order to learn the next thing. It's almost like learning math. You can't, like once you learn multiplication, you're like, why did I spend so much time? Or like division, you're like, why did I spend so much time on like learning how to subtract when like it's so much more efficient to divide, right? But like you had to learn that stuff in order to learn that stuff. My biggest regret is not creating content sooner. So like if I had to go back to day one, I would be like, start 6 months before or start a year before, or you know what, like if I had the ability to go back, that's what it would be. And then I would just be that much further along. Another thing I would say is, like, don't be afraid to invest in your technology. Don't be afraid to, like, put, like, actual money down. Because, like, the minute you do, you're going to be that much more motivated to continue to create. Like, I know that I struggled for probably 2 or 3 months. Like, should I buy a microphone, you know, like, or should I upgrade my laptop? Like, I remember it took me like probably a year to upgrade my laptop, or a year and a half. Cause I was like, oh, this is like such a big financial commitment. And then like now looking back, I'm like, I don't even know how I survived as long as I did with that old one. And so, you know, if you're passionate about something, like, just actually put in the time, put in the energy, fully commit to it. And again, I don't mean fully commit to it, like quit your job and, you know, run away from your family, but like actually do it. And I promise you, like, it'll be super fulfilling, and you're going to be learning stuff constantly. And that's kind of like what being alive is all about.
So well said, dude. Agree with all of that. I honestly share your answer. I don't think I have a different answer. I'm racking my brain as you're speaking, trying to think, what would I tell myself or what would I do differently? Like you, I would have started earlier if I thought of it. You know, I remember going back several years, probably 10 years ago, I was sitting in my old house on my kitchen island before I was fully moved in even. I was doing a Zoom call with my buddy Darcy and a longtime hobby friend of mine. We probably were chatting for 2 hours. And at the end of the call, and it was all hobby talk, at the end of the call, I thought to myself, man, an audience would have enjoyed listening into that conversation. But I didn't know about content, so I didn't even think about starting something back then. But when I think about the beginning of my content journey, that I think about, man, that should have been the clue, or that should have really been the you know, the impetus for me to start. But no, I waited probably, you know, 6 years before I actually started doing content. But what you also said at the end there is, you know, if someone out there is thinking about doing it, you just got to do it. And not, like you said, it's living. I wouldn't change anything either, because I didn't know what I know now back then. So I don't know that I could even give myself any advice without experiencing it first and going from there. So we're going to read a few more comments here. Unless you have any response to that, Brendan, we're going to read. Okay, we'll go to the comments that have come in. And then the Vintage Spotlight segment with Leighton Sheldon is going to start right away. Jake's Toe says, the best reaction to trolls is no reaction. Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Benny Cromwell, says, the new digs look great. Appreciate that very much. Bobby Burrell says, Jeremy didn't realize he was so good as he was when he started. And I said, you're going far. Now we're there. Thank you. Yeah, Bobby, you've been a great supporter of mine, man, and a friend for many, many years. So appreciate you, Bobby, very much. Bob Boozle says, Jeremy Gamble would have groundbreaking a few years ago. I think I've heard of another content creator, something, Justin Gamble or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the content, but I've heard other people talking about him. Very nice. Ziggy Noah says, Coach is dropping dimes. Great insights. And Al Turwell, thanks for the question. All right, Brendan, we're going to bring out Leighton Sheldon from Just Collecting Vintage Breaks for the Vintage Spotlight. I know you have a question ready for him. Let's bring him on. Say hello, Leighton Sheldon. What's going on this Saturday, February the 17th, my guy?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? Nice to meet you, Brendan.
Leighton, nice to meet you as well.
I'm surprised you guys don't, you must have, no, you didn't know each other.
No, I mean, I've seen him.
I definitely recognize your stash from your content.
There you go. Good stuff. Well, wait, Leighton, thanks for joining. What do you think of the new digs, Leighton? What do you think of the new setup?
Big upgrade.
Really? I'll take that. I'll take that. Okay. Big upgrade, he says. I love it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Well, let's get to it. Coach Co, Brendan, please present. And I do. I had a preview of what this question is. I got to tell you, when I saw it, I was like, great question. So let's hear what you got for Leighton.
Yeah, so we've seen type one photos start to get increased attention lately after not getting the love that, I mean, quite frankly, they probably deserve. What do you think one vintage category that's probably not getting enough love right now that probably will or should get more love?
I thought it was a great question. I'll tell you what first came to mind, and we'll just take it from there.
Yeah.
So I would start and look at anything that is not currently graded by the grading companies. Because if you can do that, then at the very least, you're likely not paying that increase in the asking price, because you can't get it graded, thus there's not gonna be a multiplier. And so the examples I'm going to give are three, but they're all related. And they're actually not cards, but they're card adjacent. So they are wrappers, display boxes, and display cases. And they all have their individual niches, meaning, Brendan, if I, for example, had a beautiful 1952 top set, couldn't we all envision a day where the top single graded PSA 9 wrapper of a nickel pack wrapper of 1952 tops could sell theoretically for thousands of dollars, if not more, when ungraded already sells in nice shape for maybe 500, 1,000 bucks if it's torn to a few hundred? Meaning I could see people who own a set, even if you're not on the registry, wanting to have a really nice wrapper. And the reason being is, in many cases, it's like a piece of art. So if it's presented in high grade, I think right now, I'm not suggesting as investment, but per your question, I think there's wonderful opportunities to buy in each of those three sectors, especially if you're a true collector, because they're not grading them at the moment.
I love that. Yeah, and you know, the question doesn't necessarily have to be investment-wise, right? Like, I think that Type 1 photos probably started off as just, like, people loving, like, what it was, and that is, like, an authentic, original print, right? And then, naturally, as it gets more exposure, it snowballs, and now, all of a sudden, like, maybe they'd be considered investments in most cases, I guess, depending on what you have.
Listen, great point. One thing I wanted to add is, if you're not familiar with display cases, I don't think that they're going to start grading them or authenticating them. I mean, I'd be surprised. But they truly are rare. They're very visually appealing. And in quantity, we did this a couple of years ago with one of my company's vintage breaks. I probably have, I don't know, somewhere between 50 and 100 of these. And they range from the 50s all the way to the 70s. And when you put them together, it's kind of like, I would say, a work of art in the sense of, you know, I'm not an artist, but visually it was really cool. And I just think that there's wonderful value for collectors in those three sectors, because if they were grading them and they were high grade, they would inevitably start selling for bigger dollars, because there's collectors who own those sets in high grade that I had to think some of them would really appreciate a companion piece to their set.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you there.
I got a question, and forgive me, but as I said earlier, the only stupid question is the one not asked. What is a display case, Layton?
Oh, sure. So in other words, take like a 1952 Topps, the baseball shipping case that all 24 boxes came in, the actual outer cardboard case.
Oh, simple as that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, for example, like the 1952 Topps case, I believe there's only one known. I think the last owner of it was David Adams, and I don't want to misspeak, but I think he might have turned down like $10,000 or $15,000 for it. And certainly that's one of the key pieces. But can you imagine they built, like what they did for starting lineups and things of that nature? Imagine they built a big holder, you know, and you found like a 1955 Topps baseball empty shipping case. I've never seen one of those. It would already sell for thousands of dollars with no grading. And that's kind of my point, is that, as you said, Brendan, I've been collecting photos for 20 years. I just mentioned my podcast the other day. I've sold precisely two. I know how many I've sold because I missed both of those photos. Yeah. I've never sold a display case. I've sold display boxes and wrappers, but those are a lot more commonplace, you know, as far as those three things go.
I wanna ask a question here about a type of collectible that I think a lot of us, if you are, you know, probably 35 or 40 or older, I don't know what the age would be, but if you grew up in the 70s, 80s, maybe the 90s, you probably have some nostalgia for, you know, Saturday, Sunday morning, sitting at the kitchen table, eating a bowl of cereal, and you're looking, like, we had no iPads, no phones, no nothing. I would be entertained by the back of the cereal box. And I've seen some people on Instagram start talking about collecting cereal boxes, like flatten, like Count Chocula or whatever it is, you know, Frosted Flakes, early issues of that. Maybe the first time Tony the Tiger appeared on now this is away from sports cards, but you know, I have nostalgia for that. I'm not going to get into it because I just don't have the capacity, but have either of you come across that before? Any thoughts on it whatsoever? Layton, start with you.
Sure. I'll give a shout out to my buddy Liddy from, you know, grade school. His poor wife puts up with him, and he's still collecting cereal boxes. If he knew about your idea tonight, to go outside of sports, like, he's definitely going to get divorced because he's teetering on that anyway. And if you talk about, like, oh, wait a minute, Leighton, that's a great idea. What's the first appearance of Tony the Tiger? Count Chocula. Like, Jeremy, I think we should just cut it off maybe right now, but I think it's a great subject to discuss.
Yeah. Brendan, how about you? Any nostalgia for that kind of those days of eating cereal in the morning without any other stimulation?
I mean, storage for me is a big thing. So, like, I can't collect something if I can't store or properly display it. So you won't catch me doing it. But I actually do know people who own cereal boxes, whether that's like a limited print or, you know, I think there was one like when Team Canada won. And I know another person was like obsessed with like the Frankenberry, and it's like and that person doesn't have anything to do with sports cards. So like that person just collects those cereal boxes. So it's actually quite funny that you brought that up. So yeah, right. I think it's interesting. And I think that there's collectors in all different shapes and sizes. And I just like, I love to hear about these like different niches that people get into.
Bob Boozel here says, I thought about Wheaties boxes, but Cards Magazine's toys was enough for me. I bring this up right now because Wheaties boxes have had a lot of famous athletes, a lot of Olympians. So that one, that really makes sense there. Bobby says that many of the 60s to 70s hockey-related cereal boxes get $1,000. That's huge. Jake Stowe says, I have a Jordan and Griffey Wheaties full box collection, 25 boxes. Okay, so there are cereal collectors amongst us right now even. Never you mind. That's pretty funny. Good stuff. So, Leighton, do you happen to have a topic or a question or anything that you want to throw Coach Coe's way, and we can all take a stab at it?
I do. I've been following your content for a little bit, and I think it's really great, and I think it's wonderful for the hobby. You clearly have fun with it. I guess a side of you that I've only discovered of late is that it seems like you're kind of into motivational content. And so I'm kind of curious, how did you find your way into that?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So I've been a personal trainer for 10 years now. And so I feel like that goes hand in hand. But a lot of it comes from self-reflection, like a lot of self-reflection and just kind of experiences that I've gone through in my life. And fortunately, I've had a really good support system. And, you know, I've been able to be authentic and vulnerable and communicate things where I don't think a lot of people have the opportunity to. And so I just try to create a dynamic where people, if they're not going to communicate, they at the very least have the opportunity to think about, you know, potentially outside the box or things that might make them a little bit uncomfortable. And all of that is kind of in a pursuit of just finding like true fulfillment and just really getting to the root of things. Like, I feel like although that journey is a little bit, it's not a little bit, it's very, very challenging once you start to really figure out why you do what you do and you know, certain things that might limit you. Once you kind of get on the other side of it, it's like what you're capable of is just ridiculous. Like I remember in high school, like I would skip school during presentations because like I was mortified of like talking in front of people. And, you know, you fast forward, and now all of a sudden, like I talk every day for, you know, hundreds, thousands of people. I mean, not in person, but, you know, like on the internet. And I have no idea when I make a video, how many people are going to see that. Like I've had videos do like a million. And, you know, I'm thinking back on it, like that old version of me, there's just no way in hell that person, if you told them that you're going to be viewed a million times, I would have never even started in the first place. So I think that, you know, what you kind of the life that you want and that fulfillment is on the other side of that discomfort. And so I just try to encourage as many people as possible to look within and just, you know, just take one foot in front of the other. And I promise you it gets better.
Well, I think it was very well put. I'm curious if you could share with everyone. Are you currently reading any books?
Not currently. No. Right now I've kind of put everything into like content creation. It's probably been 2 weeks. And Atomic Habits is a big one. So, I mean, I would highly recommend checking that out. I think it probably helped kind of get the wheels in motion there. And then, yeah, I think that everyone should see a therapist at least once, you know, just to kind of talk it out. And again, there's like some like negative stigma towards therapy, but I honestly think that everyone should be given the opportunity to kind of sit in front of someone and allow someone who is probably the best listener you're ever going to have, just kind of dissect how you're feeling. And yeah.
Interesting.
So this book, Atomic Habits, I wrote it down as I was writing it down. All I could think of were atomic refractors, because I love atomic refractors.
I have some here, man.
Let's see an atomic refractor.
I collect atomics. I love atomics.
I love atomics too.
We got an Allen Iverson PSA 9 atomic, Bowman's Best.
Beautiful. It's the die card.
Cut. What else we got here? I got a few. I love the die cut atomics from the 90s, actually. People throw those away. I'm like, no, I love those. What do we got here? I've been building out this 96 Bowman's Best set. Again, atomic die cuts.
Those are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And the way that they shine in the sunlight, and I'm like, then they're probably like $20 or $30 cards, but I love them when you put them together and it taps into the set collecting. I'm like, there's so many notable names. You got like Aikman and Sanders, and I'm like, this is what it's about right here.
Let me just jump, hold that thought, Lane. I just want to say, when you just said, they're only $20-$30 cards, I think I look at it like there's this like inverse relationship in my mind where the cheaper the card is, yet when you think it's super cool, so when the coolness factor goes up, 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 and the price goes down, 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 to me, that's the sweet. That is an awesome way to collect. When you can love a card, because you just said like, well, it's only 30. Who cares? It's only $30. Yeah. It could be $5. It could be 50 cents. If the card is cool, the card is cool. Just because other people don't recognize it or there's too many of them, who cares? You love the card. I love that. Leighton, I cut you off. What were you going
to
say?
No, I listened to what I'm going to add on to that. That's how I started collecting photographs. So think about it. There was no authentication. People were like, why would you buy this? I mean, I've been collecting vintage basketball for a long time. I was buying like Jabbar and Chamberlain photos for like $20 or $25. My buddy Albert Scheim is listening to this. He was buying them with me a long time ago. I remember there was a dealer on the East Coast. Like if you spent $50 or $100, it would have been like the best photo you've ever seen. Those photos today individually would sell for thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So, go where your heart is. And as you're saying, sometimes, believe it or not, just because you think it's cool and the price, let's say, is low, sometimes the price catches up because other people start to think it's cool, and not through pumping and dumping, just because it's actually cool. But speaking of cool, I did want to mention this because I went to a convention today locally. And it didn't go the way I thought, but it went better than expected, just not in the way that I thought. And I guess I'll get right to it, try to be brief. So I took my 9-year-old son to a local show. It's in Parsippany. I think it's called like the Morris County Card Show. Very small. Now, of course, I went in there, I had checked. I mean, I'm like ready to go. I quickly realized it probably wasn't going to be that type of experience for me. And it was towards the end of the show, so there wasn't a ton of time. And we're walking around, and like I'm really trying to push things on my son, trying to get him involved. Like it's Pokemon. I'm like, oh, is this cool? He's like, yeah, it's okay. So I mean, literally, we're zigging, we're zagging, and I mean, there's not much real estate left in the convention. And you're talking about like on each of your guys' faces tonight, I could see smiles, respectively, when you're talking about different facets of either what you collect or the hobby, and it's wonderful to see. But it really doesn't get much better than to see that smile on a 9-year-old. So I want to share with you what happened. There was no cards you really wanted at all. And there was a gentleman selling these Funko Pops. Admittedly, I don't know much about them. My son listens to Ed Sheeran, so I think he got one of those. I've given him like a LeBron, a Jordan, but not many. But he knows what they are. And he's really been into this show called One Piece, which I don't watch. I'm not that familiar, but a couple of guys in my office are, and like there's a real life version of it which I watch with him, but then there's also like 1,000 episodes of the anime. So fast forward, totally just like on a whim, like we'll start looking, and he literally says, he's like, Daddy, it'd be cool if they had some One Piece ones. And I'm like, yeah, I hope so. I'm like thinking there's just no effing way they have One Piece of these. So you're going along the table, it's like the last section. And it's like kind of high above. I don't even see it. My daddy's like, Crosby's like, Daddy, that's Luffy. And then it's like all these other different ones. And I mean, I can tell you the look on his face, that smile, I'm getting goosebumps now.
I love it.
And that's what it's all about. So it wasn't cards. And I really wish it was. But I'm so glad I went. And the reason why I went is because we weren't set up. I wanted to buy stuff, of course. I'll be very clear here. The admission was $10. I think I bought him a Gatorade, and these things were $70 for four of them. And he spent more money. I mean, you know, I spent $70, but that was his allotment, if you will. And that was more than I spent at the show. I got to tell you, it's the best time I've had at a convention in a long time. It was wonderful. So I really advise you to, like, not put so much pressure on yourselves out there. Like, if you do it professionally, then you're in my boat. But even if you do it casually, maybe don't worry if you don't get, like, the piece that's on your hit list. And just, like, keep your eyes and ears open to what's going on. We had so much fun. And I just want to share that story with y'all.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Leighton, thank you for joining us here tonight, Feb 17th in the new Sports Cards Live studio. Great to have you. Guys, you can follow Leighton on Instagram, Leighton_Sheldon, just_collect. And of course, check out his podcast, wherever you get your podcast, Trading Card Therapy. Leighton, good to see you. We'll see you back next week.
Absolutely. Brendan, it was great meeting you.
It's a pleasure meeting you as well, man.
Take care.
Take care.
Peace out, Leighton. Thank you for joining. All right, Brendan, we're going to do some comments, and then I got a couple questions for you. A couple comments really on the Type 1 stuff that were coming through. Bobby says they need more exposure in hockey. Maybe someone should do a few podcasts. I collect unique ones and ones that were made from, I guess, cards that were made from them. The professor says, I like Coach Coe's point of Type 1 photos. CNBC News featured Ken Golden recently on Type 1 non-sport photos entering his auction house. Very, very nice. Colin Murray says, iCert in Toronto grades wrappers and empty wax boxes. So someone's grading empty display boxes. Yeah. At least Vintage Oddball, love me some Type 1 photos. Very nice. Stuke says, I picked up the cereal boxes with Kellogg's 3D ads on the back. That's right. When you collect sports, you collect, you know, Oddball, there's a place for oddballs for a lot of people. Michael has a Gretzky Pro Stars box. That was a cereal for sure. Bob Boozle says, I think Coach Coe has a good book in him. LGC says, hand-cut pictures from cereal boxes are graded, which is good, but you would hate to see a box be cut up just to get a small portion of it graded. Well, interesting comment. For me, it's like, if the rest of the box is boring, all I want is the card, I'd have no problem busting up the box. But the spirit of this comment from LGC applies more to, like, jerseys. Like, you know, we're cutting up jerseys. That's, I think, more, you know, egregious in a lot of people's eyes than busting up an old cereal box. But point taken, LGC. Thank you for making it. A Collector's Dream Orlando has joined us. Welcome to the show. And Stuke says that Leighton Sheldon's podcast, Trading Card Therapy, is great, to quote Tony Tiger. Brendan, I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist that one. Thank you, Stukes, for the layup on that. Brendan, what does Coach Coe mean? Your name is Brendan Pereira. What does Coach Coe mean?
Yeah, man. So, you know, again, we tie it back to the pandemic, and it actually started just before the pandemic. When I was working in a commercial gym, I was the assistant manager there, and we were underwater for a little bit, actually. There was a bunch of people that they kind of quit. / they were slow quitting. It was like back when slow quitting was a thing. So they just, like, not show up or call in sick and then really try to stretch out, you know, until they essentially got let go. And it ended up resulting in me having to take on way more responsibility and a lot more clients and service people that I honestly just couldn't. And so I was probably working like 17 or 18 hour days at the time. And this was probably went on for like 4 or 5 weeks. And I remember there were several times I came in and, some of my colleagues were like, I don't know how you do it. And I was like, well, I mean, it's got to get done, right? And they're like, you just come in here with this, like, king of everything energy. Like, you're gonna get it done no matter what. And I just laugh. I was like, it is what it is, you know? And, you know, after that conversation, there was a few times, actually, where I was like, if these guys believe in me, like, if they believe in me, then, like, I gotta believe in me too. Not to say that I ever really questioned myself, but you always question, like, you inevitably question yourself when like you're exhausted and you're mentally and physically drained. You really don't know, like, when it's gonna stop. And when the pandemic happened and I got laid off and I had to make a decision on, like, okay, what is my future gonna look like? Am I gonna stay at this place where I think that there's really not much, like, progress happening here? in terms of like from an occupational perspective, I'm kind of limited, like unless I open my own gym, which is like, you know, in Toronto is kind of a hard ask, especially if you're working for someone, in order for you to eventually like open your own place, next to impossible. And I had to make a decision on whether I was going to go back or not. And I was like, I really didn't have much experience online at all. I had very, very minimal social media presence. And in fact, I hated social media. And I was like, I'm going to jump in head first, and this is the only option, and I'm going to figure it out. And so there was a many times in the first, I don't know, 2-3 months and beyond, where I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. But what I did was I leaned on this, like, you know, if you bring that king of everything energy, like you can figure it out. And so for me, it was just kind of tapping into something that was like outside of how I felt in that moment, right? It was just kind of like, how can I become more than I am right now in order to be the person that I need to be, right? And, you know, it ties back into when I was scared shitless, giving speeches. So I'd just not even show up, right? So I really kind of leaned into that. And when I was looking for something to like, what do I call myself, you know? I was like, I'm going to embrace the thing that kind of got me here and that gave me the strength it took to quit, to make the strides, to make the first video, to, you know, start the first class, send the first email. And so like, here we are. And I do not by any means think I'm like the king of everything, right? It's like, right. It's like being bigger than me. It's like tapping into something that I know is there, but I need to remind myself in order for me to kind of get the stuff I need to get done. And I mean, I try to embody that. Like, I don't know, you follow my content. I'm up at like 3 o'clock in the morning going for walks. Like I try to really kind of embrace that. Like, I'm going to do the hard thing because like, I know what I'm capable of now.
The way I see it now that I've heard you explain it from your perspective, and I really appreciate that. Seems to me like if you are a client of Coach Co Fitness, which is where you started with that name, you're really training people to become their own king of their own everything. It's not about you being the king of everything. However, you are also practicing what you preach by approaching life with that king of everything energy. And I think that's awesome, man. I really like that. I respect that. And I think it's a great signal you're sending out there to people who are following you. So I'm glad you had the chance to explain it, and wish I asked you earlier, but that's okay. Switching it up now. My next question for you is, I don't like, you've shown a couple of your cards here today, but I don't often see you showing cards on your social media. Why is it that you don't do that? That you're not showing off your buys, what you might be selling, if you sell cards, I'm not sure, but Why do you kind of keep your collection to yourself?
That's a great question, actually. I found that when I was creating content early on, every time I would talk about a guy I was or girl that I was buying or selling, it would have somewhat of an impact on the market. And like, I'm not saying I would move the needle, like, but if you talk about a player, let's say people are trying to get into the hockey space, and you're like, you know what, like I really, here's a new Trevor Zegras card I bought. Or like, you start showing several Trevor Zegras cards. And this is actually what happened. You start to see things like bins just start getting hit for the same cards. Because a lot of people that, and to my point earlier in this podcast, like, people are constantly looking for information, right? Everyone's kind of looking for information, and they will tail you if you've put the money up, basically, right? And that's not necessarily what I want to do. Like, I actually don't want to move the needle at all. I want to just be able to collect what I collect. I want you to collect what you collect. I've had a lot of people ask me, like, is this a good buy? Is this, should I sell this? And the response is always the same. It's like, if this card doesn't fit your collecting style, if you feel anxious about owning this card, get rid of it, right? Like, it shouldn't be that difficult. It should be very easy. It should speak to you. If you want to buy something, buy it. If it's within your budget, buy it, right? Like, and so I just try to kind of lead the horse to water and without forcing it to drink. You know what I mean? where I'll introduce, you know, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool. And I try to feature as many different segments of the hobby as possible and types of cards. But I really do not want to have an impact on like what you're buying and what you're selling. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I keep the stuff close to my heart. Also, because I feel like I don't really need to flex what I own, right? Like, I don't know. There's sometimes where I get super excited about something and I know that, like, again, like it's a $20 card, like I'll show it off, right? Like, I'm like, oh, look at this, like, really cool card. But if it's like something that's relatively expensive, like, I'm not going to play that game, right? Like, I don't need anyone to know what I own.
Yeah, fair. Totally fair. I was just curious. And yeah. I think it's a responsible sort of approach that you're taking with that, because you do have a lot, you know, you had a lot of followers on TikTok for sure. You're putting out daily content. So, you know, you said you're not maybe moving the needle, but maybe you are. You know, if even five people say, oh, I'm going to go buy Trevor Zegras because Coach Go bought a Trevor Zegras card, that wouldn't have worked out so well for people. So, you know, you've learned a lesson sort of thing, or you've seen how it can go bad.
I definitely have. And like, not everyone has the same tolerance as me, right? Like, not everyone has the same financial situation. Not everyone. I mean, some people might watch one video, and we spoke about this earlier. They might watch one video where you mention a player, and that's the only point of contact that they have with like that market or whatever they're searching for. And that's the research that they've done. And they're like, all right, this guy said that. And this happened to me where like early on, I'd talk about like Jude Bellingham or these are soccer players, like, or like Youssoufa Moukoko, both guys that like, I very much believe in. And one of them is doing incredibly 3 years later, but like, does the price, I mean, the price is probably still down. Right. So I have the tolerance for something like that because I'm like, man, I love what I own. I love the player. I love watching the player. But if you've bought it strictly for an increase, I mean, I can't guarantee you that you're going to make the right moves in terms of buying and selling. And instead of, you know, me being on the hook for your lack of accountability, I'd rather just not entertain this thing at all.
That was a great way to put it. Me being on the hook for your lack of accountability, because really you're not spending anyone else's money. They're spending it themselves, but people are willing to be swayed to make certain decisions based on what they hear. And I do think that's on them myself as well. But I hear what you're saying. I think it's a great approach and perspective.